A very good afternoon to you. We hope and pray that you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness today, March the 8th, 2015, and we're glad to be of service to you. We're here at the studios ready to answer your questions today on Let the Bible Speak. So don't miss out. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is our voice line. Both lines are available, so don't miss out on getting your question in. Many of you that tune in regularly, you know that toward the end of the program, the questions tend to pile up, the calls tend to pile up, and so don't wait for that. Go ahead and get your questions in right now. 308-9564 is the voice line, and both lines are available. If you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. That line is always available, so don't miss out on getting your question. Text in if you would rather text through your cell phone, and we'll be glad to go ahead and answer those questions as well on today's broadcast. Now, if you have a friend or relative that lives outside the broadcast area that you would like to also have them to benefit from today's broadcast, they can do so. There's two ways for them to join us. One, if they're on the internet, they can go to www.biblealone.com and click on the desktop view, and you will see a live stream button. And that will connect them here to the radio station, and they too can join in live on today's broadcast. Or if they've got a smartphone, they can use an app called TuneIn Radio and search for the radio station, WJNI 106.3, and they too will be live and join us in today's radio broadcast. If you let your friend or relative know about this, also let them know that the phone numbers are area code 843. That is the area code here in the United States for us, 843. And so all the phone numbers have that area code. And so now we are ready for you to receive your questions. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Both lines are available. You can call in your question right now, or you can text us at 725-9283. You set the topic. You set the theme. But God gives the answers through His Word as we let the Bible speak.
And God should always have the last word. He had the first word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He will have the last word in judgment. So it just makes all the sense in the world, folks, that we listen to Him now, when we have an opportunity and chance to direct our lives to Him and to obey His will before it is everlastingly too late. We appreciate so much the opportunity to be with you today and to be able to search
unsearchable truth.
Thank you very much. Of God's Word. It is so rich, the treasures that are in there, and it's there for the finding. And it might be that you're looking for treasure, just like Jesus told in the parable of the man who went and sold everything he had when he had found that one pearl of great price. And so we hope and pray that you're out there today and you are looking, you are searching for the truth. You want to know exactly what it is that God would have you to do. There seems to be so much confusion, people saying so many different things out there, and you're kind of wondering, what in the world is the truth? Well, we are here to serve you as we study the Scriptures. The simple title of this program is Let the Bible Speak, and that's exactly what we try to do. So won't you join us by calling with a question, 308-9564, and you can text us at 725-9283, and we can search together the Scriptures and to see what God says. And so we invite you to join us today.
Again, the number, the voice line, both lines are available, 308-9564, 308-9564, and you can call in your question right now, live over the air. We didn't mention that, but you can go live over the air. Just all that we request is we want your name and also be ready to turn your radio down. If you want to go live on the air, be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo. So that way we will be able to talk uninterrupted from the delayed voices. And so please don't miss out on that if you'd rather go live on the air, and we'll be glad to get you on the air. Or you can have it written down and brought into us, as most people do. But the choice is yours, the question is yours, the topic is yours, the theme is yours, but God gives the answer. Again, that number is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Our first question today is a text question from the last three digits of 859 on their phone number. And their question is, where in the Bible does it mention female angels? Because I've known all that are mentioned has male names. Well, you're exactly right. There is no such thing in the Bible as female angels. I know that many, many depictions of that through the years have been in the female form, but there has not ever been mentioned of any female angel in the Bible. Matter of fact, you might be surprised to know that only cherubim and seraphim, those are the some kind of elite angels, I guess is the way to say it. They have six wings, and they are the only ones that are depicted with wings. And so isn't it amazing how many people will depict all angels as having wings? And some of them have come up with all kind of ideas of how they get their wings and ringing of bells and all kind of things that man has come up with. But none of that, I repeat, none of that is in the Bible. There's no such thing as regular angels having wings, and there in the Bible there's no such thing as angels being female in the Bible. And so that is kind of an interesting phenomenon that religions have swallowed hook, line, and sinker, and they probably came up with some of that. But in the Bible there is nothing about that. And so you are very much astute and paying attention, which is good, that when you notice that there's no such thing in the Bible as female angels in the Bible. So thank you. Thank you so much for your question. I think it's been years since we've answered that question before. So thank you again. We sure do appreciate that. And again, that's not a sneer against females at all. And so females, as far as human beings, there's many things that female people have over males, to say the least. And so let's make certain that we just speak as the Bible speaks and be silent where it is silent, and it mentions nothing about that. So thank you again for your question. You're to be commended. And thank you for listening today. Those of you that have a question, go ahead and call right now. 308-9564 is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
In fact, I think the only two angels that are mentioned are Gabriel and Michael, name mm-hmm. that is.
And those were archangels, yes.
And I never, you know, ever given much thought to whether they were male or female, so I appreciate the lady asking that question. Speaking of angels, we have a question about Gabriel, and this is from Bobby J. And Bobby J. asks, did Gabriel have wings? And I'm sitting here and looking at a lot of the passages where has Gabriel mentioned, and I do not see a single passage that has him depicted as wings. You know of any?
It was either Gabriel or Michael that flew to Daniel.
Okay, that I'm in Daniel 8 right now, and I am looking. Let's see, verse 16 talks about Gabriel. Make this man understand the vision. So he came near, and I'll have to do some more looking at this. But when you said that, Ricky, I'm going, oh, yeah, it is somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And so it appears that that may have been the case, and we're kind of looking for the reference where it says that he flew to Daniel. So most of those references to Gabriel are in Daniel. One is in Luke. Gabriel's the one who came and spoke to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptist. And let's see. Let's try Daniel chapter 9, Bobby J., and see what we find there.
Here we go. Chapter,
yes.
Chapter
9, verse 21.
That's it. Yep.
Yep.
Go right ahead.
Okay, very good. We were in a race and we tied. And so it says, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, interesting, he refers to a man, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the beginning of the evening offering. So the assumption would be that, yes, he had wings. So, Bobby J., we appreciate that question because...
Now, Jesus didn't have wings, and he flew.
That's true.
So you don't necessarily have to have wings to fly, according to that.
That's true. So he could have, you know, time leapt or whatever. Who knows? But I can understand why people, Bobby J., would look at that verse and say, yeah, he has wings. But
there's nothing
mention,
to say that.
So, there are other options. So that's an important thing. So, Bobby J., we appreciate so much that question. And we look forward to others. We're coming up on a break right now, and we want you to not walk away from the radio necessarily, because what you're going to hear is going to be helpful and encouraging to you to further your study of the Word of God beyond this 90 minutes or beyond whatever you do ordinarily. And so we want you to listen to this announcement about a Bible study you can get through the mail that is absolutely free. And so please listen and then join us when it's over. Welcome back. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be with you today, and we trust that already you have benefited and been edified by the questions that have been asked, some that we hadn't even thought about in a long time, and it was good to review that. Concerning angels, and so we appreciate so much the input that you place into this program, and we say that sincerely. That there's a, I look forward to this being on the air and getting these questions asked, because it's a challenge and it's also helpful. It stirs my mind and causes me to search the scriptures, and that is a win-win situation for us all, and it reminds me of the noble-minded Bereans who searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so that Paul was telling them from the Bible. And so we encourage you to do the same thing with us, to search the scriptures to see whether or not the things that we are saying are indeed from the scriptures. And so if you do that, and we study together, and if you find something that maybe doesn't quite jive with the scriptures, then please give us a call and let us know about that, and we will consider that and restudy that and seek the truth always. And so we appreciate that. If you want to participate today, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. And since we just came off of the break about the Bible Correspondence Course, we hope you're really thinking about that. And so that number to call to sign up for that, you just give your name at the recorded message, and that is 553-5157. And you can begin this week to search the scriptures to see whether or not those things were so.
Ricky? Yeah, and that, by the way, that's free. So don't miss out on getting that.
Did you say it was free?
Yeah, it is. We'll never charge. Please do not send us your money. Do not send us your contribution or your tithes or offerings. Matter of fact, let us send you treasure that will never be taken away. Again, that number for the course is 553-5157. We'll be glad to send it to you even in this week's mail. You'll get it this week. So go ahead and call and enroll in that, 553-5157. We have a caller texting in this question. They're from the last three digits of 448. First of all, thank you so much for participating in today's broadcast. We are glad to be able to be of service, and we hope and what we say to you today will, from God's Word, will be beneficial. Their question goes like this. It says, a pastor said the wine that Jesus drank is not the wine of today. He was implying that Jesus didn't drink full-strength wine. He said the wine Jesus drank had water in it. In other words, Christians should not drink wine. Didn't Paul say drink wine, not water, for your often, for, he goes on to say, for your often infirmities? And so you're right. Timothy was told to drink a little wine with his water because of your often infirmities. And so he was instructed to do that. If you think about why was wine used and the purpose of it, it was for medicine purposes, and as well as that also has medicinal reasons today. We would not, any of us Americans, drink the water out of a fountain down in Mexico without having some strong problems associated with that. And so no doubt in the first century, water sometime was dangerous as well. So if they mixed a little wine with that, then it would pretty well kill many of the living things that were in the water. And so that was the purpose of it. But and then there's a lot of archaeological proofs to show that they did commonly mix water with their wine. Usually it was 10 to 1, sometimes even more than that. That would be 10 parts water to one part fermented grape juice, and which we would call wine. However, regardless of whether they drank it full strength with alcohol or whatever they might do, here's what God has to say about it. And so depending on definitions and depending on discoveries is not the way we should base our faith. We should base our faith on what God says, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. He says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry." So there's three different kinds of intoxicants addressed in that verse. Drunkenness, we know what that looks like. Revelries would be like the party spirit, and then drinking parties would be very closely related to the purpose of the party, like cocktail parties, we would call them. And he says that you used to do those things. Verse 4 says, "In regard to this, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." And then he says in verse 5, "They will give an account to God," or to him, "who is ready to judge the living and the dead." So there's the passage that you should concern yourself with, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. And there is what the Bible, what God has to say. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the number to get through your question today. It can be written down and brought into us. Steve, next question.
Yes, I have a statement or a question maybe that Mr. Morgan has brought up. And he says, "Is it wrong for a pastor to have a gun in their home?" And we were kind of joking about that a little bit and kind of say, well, it depends on what kind of membership you have.
Or what he's been preaching
about. What he's been preaching on.
Yes.
And but the scriptures give us a kind of a plus and minus, if you please, commentary on that. In Matthew 26 and verse 52, when Peter rushes to the defense of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and cuts off the high priest's servant's ear, who is named as Malchus in one of the other Gospels, Jesus told him to put his sword back in his sheath. That's John 18:11 mentions that. "Put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" And then he says in Matthew 26, verse 52, "He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." And so that context, that setting, seems to make a point about not taking revenge and using that to cause harm to somebody else, which reminds us of Romans chapter 13, Romans 12, I'm sorry, where it says, "Let God take vengeance, return not evil with evil, but evil with good." Now, on the other side, there is a passage in Luke 22, and verses 35 through 38. And this one is interesting because Jesus is preparing the apostles for his return to heaven. And He is, they're in the garden, and he asks them in verse 35, this is Luke 22, he says, when I sent you out without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? This is, you know, the limited commission that he gave them in Matthew chapter 10. And they said, nothing. And then he said to them, but now, he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must be accomplished in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And so that's, you know, another passage to look at as Jesus encouraged the apostles to buy a sword. What about hunting? You know, if you hunt, can you have a gun in the house? Well, you know, you want to keep that under safe, a gun safe, or separate the ammo from the gun or whatever. But there's no passage in the Bible that would forbid a person doing that, whether they're a pastor or whatever. We have the right to bear arms in this country, and so it's legal, man's law, and it is, there's a precedent for it in the Scripture. So, Mr. Morgan, appreciate that question, and we trust that as we've gone to the Scriptures, that that answer has been verified by the Word of God, and we encourage you, any of you out there, to call 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283 with any question that you've got concerning the Scriptures. We've gone from angels to handguns.
Now we're going to a tree.
All right, let's go.
All right, we have Patrice calling in this question, and she wants to know, can we say that heaven and the Garden of Eden are the same? Patrice, there's nothing to suggest that they are the same, because heaven is described as a place that Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It is a special place for us, certainly. Heaven was prepared for us. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angel. And we have a choice of which place to go when we leave this life behind. Now, with that said, Patrice, I would like to point out to you there is a commonality, and that is in the Garden of Eden, there was a miraculous tree called the Tree of Life. Well, in heaven, in Revelation 22, we see that Tree of Life depicted there. Revelation 22, and it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the Tree of Life, which bore 12 kinds of fruit, yielding tree, each tree yielding its own fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so it goes on to talk about that. So there's a commonality you might make that connection with. But as far as them being one and the same, no, there's nothing to indicate that. Thank you, Patrice. We really appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Time for us to take our next break. We're going to be telling you about this correspondence course, and for those of you that wonder, it is free. And we got a live caller first?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get to our live caller, and then we'll go to our break. And the name?
Ben.
Ben, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
James chapter 4, verse 7.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to give me a little more insight on James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, submit yourself before to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, I want to know, how can we as Christian, born again Christian, when the devil attack us, how do we resist that masculine when he is attacking us?
Okay, very good question. You want to hang on the air, or do you want to hang up and ask the answer?
I want to hang on the air. I want to hear you very clearly.
Okay. All right, then. Well, you remember when Jesus was confronted with the devil in Matthew chapter 4, took him out into the wilderness, and we have three of the temptations that the devil placed before him. All three times when Jesus was confronted with the evil one, the devil, all three times that Jesus confronted him with, thus says the Lord, or it is written. And so the scriptures, God's word, enabled Jesus to combat the devil in his best temptations because he knew the word and he applied the word, and it kept him from sin. And that's the promise that God gave in the Old Testament. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so that's how he overcame the devil's temptations. And that's how we can as well.
So what you're telling me that when he attacks me, I have to put the word of God on him. That's the only way he can. That's the only way that I can resist him, right?
Well, that will enable us to resist him and for us to find the way of escape. And so we've got to look for that way of escape. And the best way to do that is, what does God say? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Ben. We sure appreciate it. Thank you again.
Thank you for being
such a faithful listener.
Thanks a lot.
God bless you. Time for us to take that break now, and so as we are at break, continue your questions. We will go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak. We are so glad to be with you today, and we hope and pray that this program is being a blessing to you, not because of us, but because you're getting into God's Word, and you're able to see these answers for yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so unless you see these things for yourself, I hope you've got paper, pencil ready, your Bible ready to get these answers and write them down and study them for yourself. Because the truth is, you will not have that aha moment as long as you're listening to us. But when you are looking into God's Word, then it will give you one of those profound moments when you go, wow. And that's why, and that's our hope, that you are having those moments where you're letting God speak to your heart and making a difference in your life. So make certain that we are sticking with the truth, and make certain that you are receiving that blessing directly from God through His Word. Again, the number, if you have a question, is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Yes, we have a question from Michael. It's about the baptism of Jesus. He asks, when Christ was baptized, were there other people present beside the disciples? And Michael, I have been looking at all three of the accounts. I don't believe it's mentioned in John's account, at least there's a record of John, Jesus' baptism. But anyway, we're going to look at that. But I've looked at Matthew's account, and each of these accounts, at least in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all pay attention to the fact that all of Judea was coming out to be baptized of John. And so there were a lot of people coming to be baptized. In Matthew 3, verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And prior to that, it tells us in, maybe that is in Mark's account where I was reading that. But a lot of people came to John to be baptized. And then verse 13 just says that Jesus was baptized. In Luke's account, Luke 3, it says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. So that's Mark. We read just in Luke, and we did Matthew. And if you go to Mark, in Mark chapter 1, it tells us that verse 5 of Mark 1, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And then you drop down to verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And all three of these references seem to separate the baptism of Jesus from all the other people that John was baptizing. And so there's no clear reference that there were any other people there at that particular time. And so I don't know that I can make any kind of statement about who all was there, since it doesn't even say his disciples were there. So that may or may not be the case. The Bible just does not tell us who else was there. And so hopefully, I know that's not much help, but it's helpful in the sense that, yeah, now you know what the
Bible doesn't say.
Right.
Yeah,
so Mark,
it's just not there.
Yeah, Mark 1, Matthew 3, and Luke 3 are the verses. If you want to read those over more carefully, Michael, and make sure of that, that would be a good thing to do. So, again, we encourage you to call us 308-9564 or text us 725-9283.
Don't miss out on that. Today's broadcast, we are offering the Bible Correspondence Course, so don't miss out on that getting to you this week. 553-5157 is the number. You can enroll in the course at that number, 553-5157. If you have a question, go ahead and call in your question right now, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak. We have the texter from the last three digits of 447. Their question has to do with the sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. He wants to know about some specifics, but the Bible doesn't go into such specifics as that. But we will let you know what the Bible does say. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it talks about the husband and the wife and that relationship. It says, "Now concerning the things which you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, but because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife unto her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Deprive one another, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, but come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So there you have it. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And so don't miss out. That's the verse that talks about that relationship. Thank you so much for your question, and we appreciate your tuning in today. Again, the number is 308-9564. Steve?
Yes, we have a question from Brenda concerning marriage, and she wants to know, can people be married, and she says, in faith before the Lord, and not be married by man's legal standard, such as signing a marriage license? Well, there are two things to look at here. Is not only should I look at myself as committing to a relationship, and I'm assuming that's what you mean by married in faith before the Lord, between the two people. They're trusting in each other. They're making a commitment of faith, something like that. But then the other aspect is, well, what about a marriage license? Where does that come in? Well, that comes in because in Romans chapter 13, it tells us that we should submit to the government, to the governing authorities, the laws of the land in other cases. And so that would tell us that in this society that we live in the United States of America, they have some laws concerning what makes a person married, what how one is to be regarded as a husband or a wife, and when, and all the things that happen because of that, and certain laws that are put in place concerning our protection in our society, and blood tests, and all those kinds of things that are done when one applies for a marriage license. You know, well, it's been a long time since I applied for a marriage license, so maybe some things have changed about that. But my conviction at that time when I got married was that, you know, if the law of the land says I need to do this, then I want to obey God because He is the one who gave that authority. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed to God." And then it goes on, "Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So if you're a God-fearing person, spiritually minded, you want to please God, and you read those two verses, then guess what? You're going to want to get a marriage license. And so that's very, very important. Now, it's true that different cultures at different times, even in the Bible, different countries had different laws about what they recognized as a marriage. And people did whatever was considered customary and legal in order to make that be in agreement with the laws of that land or culture. And so I would encourage you, Brenda, to tell you yourself and your friends and whoever else that just living together is not considered fully married in the eyes of God, because we are not listening to the ordinance of God, and therefore that puts us resisting the authority of God. And that is a serious concern and a thing a person would want to correct in their life. So we appreciate that question. That's Romans 13, 1 and 2, again, about the importance of obeying the government, because in doing so, we are obeying God, because God was the one behind government.
Again, the number is 308-9564 to call in your question. We're about to get caught up on questions. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. We have a question about Lot's wife. Why was she turned to a pillar of salt? We're going to look at that in just a second when we come back. But while we are away at break, please know you can continue to call in your questions. The number 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Pay special attention during this next break. It will tell you about this free offer, absolutely free. We will never ask for a contribution ever, never ask for any kind of donation whatsoever. We want to send you treasure that will never be taken away from you. So listen up, and it will be in this week's mail to you.
We are glad to have you back with us, and we hope that you took some caution and care to listen to the advertisement about the Bible Correspondence Course. The encouragement to take that course, say advertisement. Advertisement is usually when you got to spend money.
No, this is
but,
free.
But this is free, so we just offering this for anybody and everybody who's interested in the Bible. And our only interest is that you understand what the Bible says for yourself. There's a lot of disinformation, wrong information, a lot of misleading information, a lot of confusing information in religious circles. And the only way to clarify that, the only way to clear the air, is simply go back to the source. And so that's why we encourage this Bible Correspondence Course, because it will help lead you out of the confusion, because it takes you right back to the words of God that you can read and see for yourself. You know, have you ever been told something that wasn't right and you found out it wasn't right later on? And you're going, oh, why didn't I know that? I should have known that. Well, you can prepare yourself, protect yourself by reading the study and studying the Bible for yourself, so that you will know what the truth really is. And you will not be led astray, because you know better. You know what God's Word teaches. So that number, again, was 553-5157. Please take advantage of that. You will be the one that will be blessed, and we want that for you in a very, very bad way. So please take advantage of that, and we look forward to hearing from you.
I think he means a very passionate way. We want you to have the joys and the promise and the hope that God gives.
Yes, this is my interpreter here.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, again, don't miss out on that. We'll be glad to send it to you. It'll be in this week's mail. Again, that's 553-5157. We have Bobby Joy, I'm not certain, Jay, okay, calling in this question. He wants to know, why was Lot's wife told not to look back, and why was she turned into a pillar of salt? Well, obviously, Bobby, is the reason God said so. And that's the bottom line. And I know you want more than that, but God told them not to look back. Now, in order to answer that, of course, we do see she did look back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back, which was disobedience to God. Now, in the New Testament, we have Jesus referring to this. And it's he brings this out to their remembrance in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, a very short verse where Jesus says, "Remember Lot's wife." Wow. Okay, yeah. Well, why would he say that? Well, he's in the midst of describing to those saints there, his disciples, the dangers of making a commitment to God and looking back, and the dangers of fleeing the wrath to come, and that's what this is context of. The wrath of God was going to be poured out on Jerusalem, and they were going to be destroyed. And he's giving details here in Luke 17. It's also in Mark and also Matthew 24, where he's giving them signs to look for to flee that wrath that was going to become the Roman army coming in destruction over Jerusalem. And that happened in 70 AD. And he's giving them warning, saying, now listen, when you see the abomination of desolation, you see these signs taking place, then do you run. Don't even look back. And he says, remember Lot's wife, she looked back. And you might think, well, that's done, come and gone. Yes, but still, this is a judgment scene, and there is still a judgment day coming. And so when we commit our ways to the Lord, and we're not serious about following through, or maybe we put our hands to the plow and look back. God also says they that do that is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so we need to make certain that we're going to commit our ways to the Lord. We better not look back. We better go forward. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back, and you see what happened to her? We better not do the same mistake she did. And so we've got to look forward, look to heaven, look to our home in heaven, and we will be blessed eternally. Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate that, Bobby J. We appreciate it very much and your desire to know the truth. Again, that's Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Again, the number is 308-9564. If you want to call, the lines are available. Both lines are available right now, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
And regarding that passage you referred to about the plow, Ricky, Jesus tells us that no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So that's a great commentary.
The reference is?
Luke 9:62.
Okay, thank you.
That is a good commentary in what the Bobby J's question about Lot that
yes.
you had answered and told her that looking back is not a good thing. And so that's a good thing for us to do. If we've been brought out of the world, being redeemed by the blood of Christ, we don't want to go back to that. And turning back and looking back, even looking back, you know, looking at that which is forbidden is a dangerous thing. We should learn that from Eve's example, when she was called upon by the serpent to look at the tree that God said don't eat, and so she looked at it and she goes, you know, that looks good for food and pleasant to the eyes to make one wise. You know, there's no good reason why not to take of that apple, that tree rather. And so we need not look back. So we appreciate the importance of that.
Hank calls in this question. He wants to know, what was Lot's wife's name? Oh, I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say.
And Mrs. Lot.
Yeah, Mrs. Lot, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't say. It says Lot's wife, and so we have no clue whatsoever. The Bible doesn't say. But Hank, thank you. Appreciate that very much. And thank you for listening. We sure appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. You can call in your question right now, 308-9564. The lines are available, or you can text us at 725-9283.
And so, again, as we've got a little bit of break here from questions, and so we
by the way, we're waiting on your questions, so go ahead and call right now. Well, you'll be next, 308-9564.
Yeah, the lines are wide open. And also gives us an opportunity to kind of pause again and to think about this Bible correspondence course and the value that could be to you. A lot of people think that Bible study is hard, that understanding the scriptures is difficult.
You know, I hear that a lot, too.
Yeah.
People think that.
Yeah.
And then when they study, they say, this was easy.
This was easy.
God's way is so much easier than what we're hearing in church.
Right, right. And also, probably what better understood
yes.
than what you hear in church. I hear this all the time, Ricky. Mm-hmm. Probably you do,
too. Yeah.
About people going, you know, they read a few verses, and then they just kind of talked about all kinds of stuff. And then they walk away going, what was that lesson about? And so if that's been your experience and you've been a little frustrated by that, and that is the context in which you think the Bible is difficult, oh man, wait till you just read it for yourself. You know, Paul told us in Ephesians that be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. That gives me the idea, Ricky, that I can understand.
Yeah, Ephesians 5:17 makes it a command.
Yeah.
It sure does.
And Jesus, when he was preaching and teaching, it said the common people heard him gladly. And isn't that refreshing? It's the common people that heard Jesus gladly. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were kind of confusing to people. And they were amazed when Jesus spoke, because he spoke as one having authority, not as the elders and the Pharisees and the scribes. So that tells you that, well, yeah, I can understand this, and it'll be refreshing to me, and so we want you to take advantage of that. Ricky, you got a clarification
yes,
on something?
A question. We just almost overlooked. We appreciate them calling back and letting us know we had overlooked it. The question is, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2, who were the sons of God? Are were they angels that took wives for themselves, and whom they chose that God wasn't pleased with? I know that God cast out Satan from heaven and some angels, and so they was wanting to know who were these sons of God. The reason, first of all, that we overlooked this because we discussed it during the break, and somehow we didn't come back to it.
We thought we'd answered it.
and I don't know if you're going to like the answer, but the answer is, I don't know. It doesn't say. There are a lot of conjectures about this. That same phrase is used in Job, and that very well may be talking about angels that came up before God because Satan was with them. We just don't know. It could be the sons of Seth. It could be the righteous walking on the earth. There could be a number of things, but it just does not give us enough information to make a definitive answer. And so we just don't want to go somewhere that the Bible doesn't clearly state. And so, I think you probably don't like our answer, but we just can't conjure up something that the Bible does not give us clear indication on. Again, there is a connection between this passage, that phrase, and Job chapter 1, but there's nothing definitive about that. So thank you. Thank you for your question, and again, I have to plead ignorant here. I just don't know. There's no way to make a solid, clear conclusion on that.
The only thing that I would add to that would be, you know, Jesus said that the angels would be like the angels in heaven, neither married nor given in marriage,
mm-hmm.
and that to me would kind of eliminate that aspect.
That's a good connection,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, I appreciate the question and getting to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. Time for our next to last break. So we want to let you know that this Bible correspondence course that we're offering is free. We're happy to send it to you. But let me just encourage you. If you go ahead and enroll in this and you get it in the mail to you, please know it will accomplish nothing if you just let it sit in a stack of mail. I know I get a lot of junk mail, and so first thing I do is pull out the junk mail and throw it in the garbage. I don't know about you, But please, if we go to the trouble of sending this valuable resource to you, don't just throw it in the garbage. Take it, open it up, study it, fill out the answers, send it back to us. We will grade it and send it back to you along with the next two courses, where then you will take it and study it anytime you want to, day or not. Night, you could, if you're a night owl, you can study it at night. If you're a morning glory, you like to, everything's bright and ready to go in the morning, and you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you can study first thing. It's up to you. But by all means, get into the Bible, find these answers, study them for yourselves. You may discover things, some truths in God's Word that you've never seen before. And by the way, some of the things we point out in these lessons could prevent you from going to heaven one day. So don't miss out on this. But why not see these answers for yourself? Why not find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Now, our court system seems to operate under that standard. How come our religious churches do not operate under that standard? It is a standard. Matter of fact, they even use the Bible to people get people to swear on. It is the truth. And so let's find all the answers there and quit listening to people. Let's find the truth, the whole truth, so that we can show ourselves approved unto God. Again, here's more information on it at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send this to you absolutely free. Now, if you already have the course, you're one of our longtime listeners, go ahead with your questions. Coming in, the voice line is 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We are happy to still have you with us today, and it may be that you have just gotten home and sat down and gotten comfortable and got your Bible out and your pencil and paper, ready to participate in the program and follow along with us as we take these questions and as we look at the scriptures for the answer. We also want you to take advantage of the opportunity while you're sitting down and catching your breath from coming in from whatever you were doing, that you also write down this number, 553-5157, and that's the number to call to sign up for a Bible correspondence course. You just heard about the importance of that. You heard about the encouragement to take that. And again, what greater blessing could there be than to have the words of eternal life? Remember in John chapter 6 when people started leaving Jesus in droves because of his teaching? And he turns to Peter and said, "Will you also go away?" And remember what Peter said? Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And those words are found in the Bible. Now, what a wonderful blessing it would be kind of to be in your house and you're all alone. It's quiet. You got the Bible open and you're reading it. And then all of a sudden you feel this exaltation in your spirit because you've read something that you didn't know was there. And you're going, "Wow, that is great." That's what happens when you read the Bible and study it for yourself. These are words of spirit and life, as Jesus said, and they will connect with your spirit. And so you have a lot of things to look forward to if you avail yourself the opportunity to study God's Word. And so, again, that number is 553-5157. To participate, to call in the program, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yes, we have a couple of questions here from a couple of young men that are wanting to know about the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. The first one, Luther, is calling in this question. Luther, thank you so much for your desire to find out what God's Word says. He wants to know, is there somewhere in the Bible that it says that you should ask God for the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues? And Luther, no, there is no reference to someone asking God for the gift of speaking in tongues. The closest we can get to that would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, where it says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." And so he actually then spends three chapters, chapters 12, 13, and 14, in which when you get to chapter 14, he is almost saying that, he just comes right out and says, I'd rather speak 10,000 words or 10 words in a known tongue than 10,000 words in one that they don't understand. And so he lets them know that that is not the way or that which we should desire the most, but let all things be done unto edification. And that's what we should desire, for people to be built up in the faith and for there actually to be viable, clear communication going on. And by the way, that's 1 Corinthians 14:26, where it says, let all things be done unto edification, and thus able to them know what is going on. The first verse I mentioned was chapter 14, verse 19. In the church, I would rather speak five words with understanding. Excuse me, I said 10. But five words with understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue that they would not know what, there would not be any edification. So no, there is not a reference to that. If anything, it is frowned upon in that chapter. Again, the number is 308-9564. We have David calling in a like question. He wants to know about, are there prophets today or inspired men? Galatians chapter 1 gives us a clear indication of that. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9 says, even if we, so Paul includes himself in this, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so, David, if anyone claims to be inspired of God, and they are not teaching what we can read in the scriptures, then don't walk, run away from them as quick as you can, because that word accursed there is the Greek word anathema, which is like a super curse. And this was so important. Verse 9, again, this is Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, says, as we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, that would be 2,000 years ago, let him be accursed. So you get it, David? No, we better not come up with something new, or we're going to receive that curse that he's talking about there in that verse. And I don't know about you. I don't want to go there. What about you, Steve?
No, sir. Not even by invite.
No, that's right. So again, the number, if you want to call in your question, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve, you're next.
Yes, we have a question from Glenn. It's one that we get every so often, asking about tattoos and piercings. Are they okay? Well, I tell you what, I'd like to say, no, they're not okay, because I don't like them. But the Bible, and the only time they're mentioned is in Leviticus chapter 19, and verse 28, and that verse reads, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. And so you look at that verse, and that verse, of course, says not to. Well, that is an Old Testament passage, and we live under the New Covenant. And so what we would have to do if we lived under the Old Covenant, we could not just pick out one verse and say that we need to keep this, because the verse before that says you should not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. And so we need to keep all of those commands if the Old Testament is valid and in effect today. But we are living under the New Testament today, and so the Old Covenant is not binding upon us. Passages for that are Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, and now that we're no longer under a tutor, we are under the gospel. We are under the faith of Christ. And then Romans chapter 7, verse 6 says that we are delivered from the law. And so it's important for us to respect and honor the difference in covenants, and realize that we are under the new covenant. So it would not be honest of us to go back to the Old Testament and pull out a passage just because we don't like tattooing or piercing. And so hopefully, Glenn, that is of some help to you. If you got more questions about the difference between the covenants and how to understand that, sign up for that Bible correspondence course, and that will tell you and give you guidance on that particular theme. So we appreciate so much your question. And give us a call, 308-9564, or text us, 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, we have a caller with this question. Where do I start studying the Bible, and should I start at the beginning or just pick random chapters? Well, that is a really good question, and I just shows that you have a hunger and you want to get to that which will help you the most. And so let me see if we can help you with that. Of course, the central figure of the Bible is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Old Testament. He came and he fulfilled those things. Then also, so we want to look and start with the focus of the whole Bible, and that would be in Jesus Christ. Now, I would recommend you maybe to start reading the book of Luke, because it is more chronologically ordered, and the book of Acts, which I would recommend to be next, it was written by Luke. And so you'll be familiar with his writing style, and you'll be able to go from Luke right into the book of Acts, and then you'll be able to see the picture of why Jesus came and why and what God's people did to the reason why he came. And thus you'll be able to see how his church was set up, which is the focal point for us to be part of. So start with Luke and then go to the book of Acts, and you will be able to see this big picture that God wants us to see. And by the way, if you want more information on that or more resources along this line, you can visit our website, which we have failed to mention today. Any of you can go there at any time and download Bible study material. Our website is BibleAlone.com. www.BibleAlone.com, and we have several Bible study resources on the website. So don't miss out on those things as well. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We sure appreciate that. Those are questions that we really like, because it helps a lot of people that may have the same kind of question. Now it's time for us to take our last break. Yep, I'm sorry. This is our last break, where the last 15 minutes of our program is coming up. And so don't miss out on getting the correspondence course to you if you've never enrolled in it. There are so many churches today that teach so many restrictive things. You may think of it like blinders. And thus, the God of this world has blinded people's eyes, that is the devil, so that they can't see or will not be able to see the whole truth, because the particular denomination is restricted by the doctrine of that church. So let's remove the blinders. Let's be free at last and find the whole truth that will set us free. Why not enroll in the course? And we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free. That number to get that course in the mail to you is 553-5157. And we will direct you to God's Word for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness, and we will be glad to send it to you. Please put your pocketbooks away. Put up your checkbooks. Do not send us your money. Let us send you the treasure that God, the Lord of the universe, wants you to enjoy. 553-5157 is the number to call. Enroll in the course, and it will be in the mail this week. And we're happy to send it to you. So don't miss out on that. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call us here to studio at 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We are back live now, and this is our last segment, so please don't miss out. And be sure to get that correspondence course coming to you if you have never received it before. And that number is 553-5157. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're interested in this, but we're going to make this offer, especially if you live in the Goose Creek, North Charleston, Somerville, Lincolnville, Ladson, in that general area, all the way up to Ridgeville. If you are interested in having a Bible study, that is where we sit down with open Bibles in your home, you can also call and say that's what you want when you get the recording. Don't miss out on that. We'll be glad to make those arrangements. Someone, you just call and say, please call me for I want a Bible study in my home, and we'll give you a call. So don't miss out on that, especially if you live in those areas we will make that happen. We have individuals that are willing to come and to sit down with open Bibles and to be able to answer your questions in person. So call 553-5157, and when you do, say, I want a phone call to arrange a Bible study, and we will make that happen according to your schedule, even in your home, or sometimes we meet in restaurants, don't we, where we just sit down and have a cup of coffee, and we study together there in the place of your choice, and we will be more than happy to make that happen. Again, that number to get that opportunity is 553-5157. And so don't miss out on that. One more time, call 553-5157 to make those Bible studies, those opportunities to sit down, to study the words of eternal life, the bread of life, and to make certain that you don't miss out on listening to God himself in his word, 553-5157. Now, well, we got this last segment. We got about 8 minutes left, so go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
I have a question here from Patrice about Satan. And she asks, was Satan on the earth in the beginning since he was there in the garden? Well, yes, he was there in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that was the beginning of the what we know as the created inhabited earth. Before that, of course, there was God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the host of heaven, the angels. And when Satan got to the earth, we're not exactly sure. Jesus in Luke 10 made a comment of those 70 or 72 that were sent out to preach and to heal and cast out demons. They were rejoicing that the demons were able to be cast out. And Luke 10:18, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, which is, again, a reference to Satan losing his place in heaven. When that took place, nobody knows. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he was there in the garden, and he still is here. And so we need to be on our defensive. And as Ben asked, was on the air earlier in our program, asking, how do I resist the devil? And one of those ways is just plain old say no and say yes to God. Draw near to God, he'll draw nigh to you. So, Patrice, we appreciate that question, and we hope that you will be able to ward off his temptations by this familiar phrase, it is written. That's what Jesus said to thwart the temptations of the devil. So we appreciate your question. We've got a few more minutes left. We've got a few more questions. And Ricky?
Yes, we want to encourage you. If you have a question, call right now. And if we can't get to it on today's broadcast, we will study it and go over it at the beginning of the next broadcast. But go ahead and call right now. I think we can get to it. 308-9564, that is the voice line, and it will be written down, brought into us, or you can go live over the air. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have Joe calling in this question. He says, should I listen to a woman preaching, or should I walk out? Joe, that's interesting the way you put that, and the truth of the matter, let's first see what God says about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, God makes it clear. It says, let your women keep silent in the churches. The phrase in the church means when the churches come together. We see that in verse 26. We see that in verse 23. We see that in verse 19. And so when the whole church has come together into one place is what it's talking about. So when they've come together for worship, it says, let the women keep silent, for it's not permitted for them to speak, but they are to be submissive, as also says the law. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or did the word of God originally come from you, or was it only... or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I wrote unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so it wasn't just a Corinth thing. This was the commandments of the Lord. So his question is, should I listen to a woman preaching or should I walk out? Well, Joe, it has a lot to do whether you feel that you are in fellowship with them or not. If you feel that by your presence that you are actually participating or condoning or actually endorsing such behavior, well, then you should not participate in that at all. But if it's just happenstance, you walk in, women many times have, well, not many times, women usually have a lot better things to say than we men because we are so linear in our thought processes where women can add a whole new perspective. But again, it's not supposed to be a woman teaching over a man as well in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. But as far as listening to women teach, I can't say that that would be right or wrong. And as far as you're walking out, Ephesians 5 and verse 11 does give us this information where he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them, depending on your translation. And so I cannot have fellowship with something that is wrong. And so it depends on you whether you feel that you would be endorsing that person by remaining there in that situation. And again, that's Ephesians 5 and verse 11, and that was 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 through 37, and 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12.
And another passage, too, is Acts 18, where Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos teaching, but not completely accurately, and they waited till he was done, and then they took him aside and taught him the way of God more accurately. So that would fit that other scenario you talked about. Mm-hmm. You walk in all of a sudden, oh, wow, this is a woman preacher. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so that shows respect for that person as a person,
mm-hmm,
and their position, and you have the opportunity to speak with them with the scriptures, mm-hmm, about that practice, and you know, you never know.
To see if they're open to truth.
Exactly.
You know, for many years, we would go and look for churches that were advertising that they were following the truth, and we would go and look and see them and visit with them. And then after they would dismiss, we would talk to some of them. You would not believe some of the behavior that they displayed when we pointed out something scripturally wrong with their practice. Oh, and we were loving and kind and gracious in our asking them. All we did was ask questions, said, how do you explain this verse in view of what you just practiced? And, oh, you had thought that someone had thrown a stick of dynamite off in the place, the way they behaved. Some people are not interested in truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been our honor to be able to be in your presence today. We want you to know that you are so you thrill us that you have such a desire to find the truth and to want to know what God's Word says. We hope and pray that it is truly a hunger from the heart, that you are resembling the Ethiopian eunuch who was asking questions of a peasant that came by named Philip, or like Cornelius, a notable man of great authority, would listen to a humble fisherman to declare unto him the way more perfectly. And if you have that kind of heart, we want to meet you. We want to say thank you, and we want to help you to find the answers that you are asking, and we are glad to be of service to you. So don't miss out on this. We are glad to send you the correspondence course to talk to you in person if that's what you want. Don't miss out in making that happen. Again, that number is 553-5157. And our time is up, so we want to say thank you for tuning in and thank you for your desire to know the truth. And we hope and pray that this blessing, that you've been blessed today from God's Word, not from us, but from Him, and that you will continue to search the Scriptures whether those things are so, and in the end, we'll be able to find the way, the truth, and the life. Till next week, let the Bible speak.